All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood at Twin Peaks, as Barry's here. Nick is back at the station, and I'm with you as we join you from Twin Peaks 59 and Kirby, getting ready for the big national championship game this evening between the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Clemson Tigers. But you know what? I have a sneaky suspicion we're going to be talking a lot of sports today.
You think so?
Yeah.
Was there anything that happened this weekend?
There's a few things we can get to.
Okay. So welcome back, first of all.
Thank you. Great to be back. I appreciate Cody filling in, and then I did not appreciate the fact that you guys seemed to have to scramble a little bit on Friday.
Yeah, we were going to have Jerome. I don't know what happened, but Jerome couldn't do it. Cody filled in for the first couple hours, and then AJ for the last hour. So all's well that ends well.
Okay. Yeah. I did actually miss doing the show.
Did
and,
you?
And doing all that, but we did.
You did not enjoy vacation?
I did. I mean, we had some good, real good time off and good family time and Lisa's birthday and all of that, so it was good, but it was, yeah, it was a good little.
Did you do anything special, or did you do like a staycation birthday
kind of,
thing?
Kind of staycation birthday.
Okay.
You got her favorite cake and cupcakes and all the stuff that she, you know, is a big fan of for her birthday, and Taylor was, of course, front and center as always, but it was good family time.
Vegan, vegan cupcakes?
No, although she found a place that has them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I can't imagine how bad vegan cupcakes taste. It probably tastes like a piece of cardboard.
Yeah,
I would guess.
If you're going to – if you want cupcake.
Why? Yeah.
Yeah, just – you got to make exceptions.
Yeah.
And the other thing was
– just a couple of baby chickens that died for your sins.
Yeah, but
no big deal.
I don't even really want to get into that with her. But, yeah, because I know that there are times that she's just going to splurge because she knows and appreciates – the taste of quality chocolate. But so we go to the cupcake place, and we had just picked up Taylor from school, and Taylor's like, daddy, gotta go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, let's go. And so what we've been doing to get her potty trained, which has worked exceptionally well, is every single time she goes, she has to run out of the bathroom, and she comes and, daddy, guess what? And I make it the biggest deal in the world because they say that positive reinforcement helps to get her to, you know, do it and be more accurate with it.
Right.
So we get done in the bathroom at the cupcake place, and I go, now, Taylor, you don't have to I'm right here. You don't have to tell anybody anything, but daddy's proud of you. She's like, okay, daddy. I open up the door. She comes flying out in the middle of the cupcake store and goes, mommy, daddy, I went pee-pee and poo-poo. And I went, what did I just tell you not to do? And she goes, what, daddy? I went poop. I went, oh. Okay, we got it. And Lisa's looking at me like, did you? I had no control over it, but she was not going to be sold short and letting everyone know.
I'm sure most people.
She got her done.
Yeah, but I'm sure, you know, if she was 13, and then I would be embarrassed.
Yeah, right.
You know, how old is she?
She's 3.
Yeah. So I'm sure most people that would see that in here, they'd be like, oh, what a cutie. She's so proud. You know, I mean, if she comes running out there, like I said, at 16, going, mommy, dad.
Right. But even still, I was
then like, you're like, yo, you're going to be.
And I'm looking at Lisa going, I told her twice, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, she's 3. What you going to do?
Yeah.
I had a first happen for me this weekend.
Okay.
Actually, 2 firsts. One of them was, thanks to Demetrius, I got to watch Shawshank Redemption for the first time.
Wow.
I'm 44 years old. Yeah, don't look at me like that, Charlie. Also, next up on the list, Schindler's List. I got to watch that next. I haven't seen that. Yeah, don't throw your hands up, Charlie. I'm okay. I'm behind the times. The most, I guess, I don't know what's the word for it, cultured movie I've seen is Tommy Boy. So I'm not.
Which is a great flick.
Yeah, but I'm not very cultured. But, dude, I really enjoyed the movie.
It's a great movie.
It really was. I get it. I see. So now I'm excited to see some of these classics like I said, Schindler's List I haven't seen. The Godfather series I have not seen. So I'm excited about these. Yeah, I'm.
You haven't seen The Godfather?
I have not.
Really?
Don't. Yeah. That's pretty bad.
You've seen The Usual Suspects?
I have. I watched it right before we started the show.
Okay.
Like when we came up with the name,
yes, yeah.
I went home and watched it that weekend. Just because I didn't want to be called out for having not seen it.
No one would ever call anybody out on this
show. Otherwise, would I have watched it at this? No, I probably still would not have watched it.
Great movie. Nick, have you ever seen The Usual Suspects?
Parts of it. I didn't even watch it. When we first named the show The Usual Suspects,
idiot,
I tried watching it, and then I was like, man, this movie's not even.
I tried watching it. It's not like you have to stomach it. It's actually a good movie.
I fell asleep. I didn't even.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you, Nick. I thought it was a decent movie, but not one where I would have been like, oh, this is the best movie. Now, you know, Shawshank was different. That was a good movie. Yeah. That's just a good, solid movie, start to finish. And what's crazy is I wasn't planning on watching it, but then it was late last night, and it was on TV, but it was the censored version.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, well, I don't want to watch this. So I remember I had the DVD that I got for Christmas from Demetrius, so I went and put that on. Watched it instead, and I'm glad I did. So that was cool.
Did you find yourself doing your Morgan Freeman?
A couple times.
Okay.
I was just checking myself to see. I was like, yeah, it needs work. It still needs work. Not as good. When you hear Morgan Freeman, yeah. Not as good. The other thing that happened to me that's a first is I got blocked by Joel Osteen this weekend on Twitter.
Yeah, what's that all about?
So that was fun.
Did you put your joke on?
Well, that's been out.
It's been there.
Yeah, that's been out. But I saw, so on the video on Facebook, it's been kind of getting some run. And somebody had posted this thing about him charging $5,000 for tickets to a
tweeted that, yeah.
That was like, no way. That can't be true. So I went and looked, and it's true. So I called him out. I was like, why are you charging $5,000?
Right.
For tickets. And then some people were like, oh, that's not true. I was like, well, all I know is in order to get to this thing, you go to this website, it's $5,000. That's all I know. And apparently he didn't like that, so he blocked me.
Oh, my God.
That
goodness.
Was it. So Joe Osteen, I can no longer tag him on Twitter and have him see
heartbreaking,
it.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sad.
So that you have one less guy that can help you if you ever get stuck in a hurricane. Oh, never mind. Never mind. You didn't have that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty sad, pretty sad moment for me, I guess, being blocked by him.
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of love lost there or anything that's going to hurt you there.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever.
I will tell you this because I saw you guys were tweeting back and forth on movies and things like that, and I was like, did I miss something there? But I know that you guys always think that I don't watch a lot of TV or movies.
Uh-huh.
But Lisa had Entertainment Tonight on the other night. Okay. And they started talking about this new R. Kelly documentary that was, like, killing it in the ratings. And it was on Lifetime. And it was, like, five parts to the whole thing. And I was like, oh, we got to see this. And she's like, yeah, I'm in. And they showed John Legend just, like, bashing it. I'm like, oh, wow. So, like, entertainers are literally going to be up front in what they feel about R. Kelly. So I started watching.
So John Legend was bashing the documentary?
Bashing
or
R. Kelly.
Oh, good. Because I love John Legend.
Yeah.
I would have burned all his, downloads. That doesn't make sense.
No.
Just deleted them.
Yeah. But I'm watching this thing, so mm-hmm. the next, and I couldn't stop watching.
Really?
I watched, it was, and the first thing that my takeaway of the whole thing is, how is this man not in jail?
Exactly.
How has he gotten off, literally, don't answer that.
Oh, no.
How has he gotten out of
I think they covered
being
that.
Put away, right? But what kind of a sick individual, when you're in a court case, where you're going in and out of court every day to try and keep yourself out of jail, are you still also hitting on underage chicks so that when you get acquitted and not convicted, you hook up with the chick that was the high school chick that was sitting out there with signs supporting you? So you really learned a lesson.
You know who's next? Drake. Did you see that?
I've heard some things about
this is the first thing I thought of was R. Kelly. Drake was at a concert and brought a girl on stage, was dancing with her. And then was like, how old are you? And she's like, 17. He's like, oh, wow, no, I can't go to jail. And then kisses her. After he finds out she's 17, I was like, what are you doing? And then he's like, I really like the way your breast felt against my chest. She's 17, bro.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But I found it interesting. It's crazy how many people are actually supporting R. Kelly.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. And the thing is, and when you watch this documentary, like his bass player that's been with him forever,
yeah,
he ends up as one of the key components of this whole docuseries is the fact that he ends up sexually assaulting the bass player's 13-year-old daughter.
Oh, hell no.
and continually does it. And he also literally, quote-unquote, kidnaps. He has a couple that travel with him in separate hotels that are like, they're not, they have to call him daddy. They're not allowed to leave either the house or the hotel without permission. He openly, physically will abuse them if they say the wrong thing or do the... It's like, how is he getting away with all of this?
Yeah, somebody had brought up a good point. Why do they stay, though? Like, why are you... You're not... Are you physically being held against your will?
So there's a mother...
Why are you staying?
Whose daughter's been in it, like, to your point, for the last 3 years. She found out what city they were in and had heard that she may be one of these traveling...
Yeah.
Whatever,
concubines?
Yes.
Yeah.
She goes to the hotel, knocks on the door, gets the hotel manager, and ends up seeing her daughter for the first time in 3 years.
Damn.
And other parents are like, yeah, he got her, and we haven't seen her, had contact with her in 2 years. If I'm a parent, I don't care.
Did she take her out of there right away?
She tried to, but then there his security got involved.
Oh, wow.
It's just creepy, and I kept saying to Lisa, I just can't believe how this man is not in jail.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I had remembered – from years ago, somebody telling a story about how R. Kelly kind of had like a sex dungeon, and how he was holding people against their will. And I thought, wow. And then it's funny because Sam Damaris, one of the Whiskey Brothers, who's I think he's in L.A. now, but he had posted on his Facebook wall. He even said, he goes, yo, Dave Chappelle warned us of this years ago with the whole R. Kelly spoof that he did. Yeah. Like, it's been out there. And we were all just like, oh, okay. And here it is. It's amazing.
Dude. He got acquitted. I got to stop saying that.
Yeah, you got to stop saying that.
He got acquitted, right? That day, they told him what he could and couldn't do. That day, he went to a church function with children.
Oh, no.
And performed I Believe I Can Fly.
It's weird, man, because, it's kind of happening all over Hollywood. You know?
Yeah, and it's like he feels like he's invincible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... pretty tragic. Pretty
Which is
sad.
Just nuts. Oh, I shouldn't have said that either. It's
no,
just crazy.
No, you should but, not have.
All right, we're just getting started. So we want you to join the show as we always do. 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line where you can call. You can also text. And you can also reach us via Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick.
Are you proud of me that I'm eating salmon?
I
trying
see
to get
that.
Healthy? Well, it's part of getting healthy for the new year. And look, if you're out there listening to this, and you're also on a diet. You're trying to get healthy. You're trying to get – dude, check out Vortex. Vortex is Houston's first and only multisensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. You're going to love this place, man. You want to get in shape? You really want to shed some pounds? Take a boxing class from Vortex. Take a spin class from Vortex. You're going to love the classes. 45 minutes in and out. No fuss. No long double, 3 hours at the gym or any of that stuff. You're in. You take the class. You're done. Here's what I love about it is it's like a luxurious gym, but it's affordable. Right now, you can try it out for a week for $40. Unlimited classes, $40. Check it out. And here's the cool thing. Like, the touches at Vortex are so nice. Like, they have USB ports in all the lockers in the gyms. You can order a smoothie from the refuel station before your class. As soon as you're done, your smoothie's waiting on you. How cool is that? You don't have to wait for that anymore. You just grab it and go on to the next, whatever it is you're doing. Like I said, they've got three rows of bikes, so one of the largest in the city as far as spin classes go, 48 in total. Always going to be a bike available for you. The boxing classes are taught by actual boxers, so you're learning how to throw a punch the right way while you're getting in shape. And again, guys, it's a full body workout. I asked to estimate how much calories you think I burn in a 45-minute session. They're probably like, about 500. It just depending on the intensity that you do it at, might be more, just like I said, depending on how hard you work out. Give it a shot. Check it out. 1707 West Gray is where they're located. 281-501-3094 is the number. 281-501-3094. Or your best bet, log on to VortexTexas.com. That's VortexTexas.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We appreciate you being a part of our day as we hopefully entertain you through your day on ESPN 97.5, and take us along for the ride. Fasten the seatbelts, and away we go. Broke the ice a little bit in the opening segment, but of course there's lots of sports to get to. I was curious from your guys' perspective, how did you do in the AJ pool this weekend?
I went 0-1-1.
Okay.
Yeah. My Seattle Seahawks was a push.
Yeah.
And then I forget who I had in the college, but they ended up.
Ohio State screwed me in the college.
Yeah, there was not a backdoor cover, but there was a touchdown late that I thought was going to help me out, but it ended up not.
Oh, you took Washington State, didn't you?
Yes.
I think that was it.
Was that this week or last week?
I don't know. College is tough for me to keep track of. And then I got luckily, I took the Eagles and the points. Yesterday.
Oh, good man.
So I got that win.
Boy, I tell you what, my week of picks, garbage. Pretty much the opposite of what I picked. I only had one road team winning. Only one home team won.
Yeah.
So, I straight up, and then against the spread, I was 1-2-1 of the four games, and I was 1-3 straight up.
So I emailed you guys my picks because I didn't know if you were going to do them or not, but I went opposite. The only one I was going back and forth on was the Bears game anyway. So with AJ's pool, I did take the Eagles.
Okay.
But I was 2-1-1.
Okay.
Because with our picks, I believe I took the Bears. So okay. 2-1-1, though, but I just had a feeling about both the Chargers and the Eagles for some reason. And that Seattle game, man, if they don't lose Janikowski, I don't know, man. That might have been different, too. But, hey, the one thing for a football fan, especially if you don't had a rooting interest, those were good football games. There was a lot of interest in a lot of those games.
Yeah, the only game that sucked was Texans-Colts.
Yeah.
That game sucked.
Yeah, it sure did.
It was boring. It was like, I don't know. It was a tough watch. It's not just from a football standpoint, but being a Texans fan as well. It was not pleasant. I tell you what, man. You knew they were in trouble. Opening drive, they just come out. The Colts do, and just smash the Texans in the mouth.
Yep.
Just
march
put it
right
on
down
them,
the field.
And it was like, uh-oh, this is going to be ugly. And then they come back down on the second drive, and I felt like on the second drive they were proving a point. First drive, they're throwing it around. T.Y. Hilton's getting involved, and you're like, uh-oh, Texans secondary. Second drive, they come and just run it down their throat. And it felt like that the Colts were saying, look, we can do whatever we want. We can
run it on you.
We can throw it on you. It's going to be a long day. Two drives in a row, and it was just like, man, I don't like the way this game is headed, and they never recovered. I mean, they never really ever bounced back from that.
I'm with you because I saw the balance. I saw the first drive was basically pass-oriented. And the first thing that ticked me off about the drive was, you know the focus should be on T.Y. Hilton. You know he kept making statements in the media with, you know, that he basically owned the Texans and, you know, ever since they started. And yet he has 65-plus yards receiving on the first drive. And it looked like they were doing whatever they want. And you're right. The second drive, they just basically said, oh, there's balance. If you don't like the fact that we're throwing it, we're going to run it too. We're going to run it down your throat. And it was you just kind of had that, oh, God, here we go again in Houston thing. And that was not what anybody wanted to see, hear, or deal with for sure.
Yeah, I think Texans hurt themselves defensively. They couldn't get off the field on third down. I think it was 7 of 7 on third downs until the 11 minutes left in the third quarter where they finally got a stop on a third down play. So that was disappointing. I'll tell you this, and I'm not an excuse maker, and I don't think it changes the game necessarily. I think Texans still lose. But that no call on the face mask on Deshaun Watson, that really changed the game in a lot of ways because then now instead of being first and goal, it's fourth down. Then he's got the wild throw, which was the theme of the day for Deshaun Watson, completely inaccurate, whether he had time or not.
Right.
And I thought the O-line did a decent job of giving him some time.
From
I don't
time
think
to time,
bad.
They were okay.
Those throws were on him. Like, I know a couple of them got tipped. A lot of those, though, he's been making them throughout the season. I don't know if the moment was too big
Barry Warner,
was too razzled.
Of all people in the press conference, asked Deshaun, were you off? Why were you making so many errant throws? And he was like, I mean, I couldn't plant my back foot. He's like, I was constantly under pressure. There were constantly guys in my face. And so for the first time, you kind of felt like Watson was feeling the heat enough to deflect to his offensive line. But look, we said it before the game even happened. If he's going to be your leading rusher, that's a horrible sign if you're the Texans.
Oh, yeah.
Because that means he's running for his life.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk a lot of football today, obviously, and recap everything that's going to happen tonight, or we think it's going to happen tonight, and everything that happened this weekend. And Nick has been so gracious to get his friend Adam Rank on the show from NFL Network. You can follow him at Adam Rank, and he's going to join us at 1:30, so that's going to be fun. Our first segment, we were talking about the R. Kelly thing.
Yeah.
And Big Al is on the phone. He wants to get in here on R. Kelly. What's up, man?
Yeah. When I listen to what's being said all about R. Kelly, I think of, if you notice that he was Catholic, right? Now, as billions of dollars being passed around due to Catholic priests doing basically the same thing R. Kelly did. Yeah, I believe some of that he did, but I also believe a lot of that priests are doing. Nobody talks about that. And they pay out billions of dollars, and they keep right on doing what they're doing. They move them
around.
Call,
Al. Look, I don't understand. Al, what does one have to do with the other? Are you right. Excusing? I mean, thanks
There's
for the
There's no excuse for either
for
one
the
of them.
Call, but I feel like you're excusing R. Kelly because Catholic priests molested a bunch of kids. That's ridiculous.
And they have, they have shed light on that before. Watch the movie Spotlight. It tells you everything about that,
yeah,
especially in Boston.
That's just the – that's the look, man, I kind of understand your point, but what a stupid argument to say that, well, you know, no one's talking about the Catholic priests. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you don't.
It was in the news for years.
There's no excuse for the priest. There's no excuse for R. Kelly.
Don't call and start making up excuses for R. Kelly. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear that.
And look, we know that there's a big deal going on here locally with the Archdiocese, the Catholic priests, and everything that's going on.
Is there? I don't know.
Yeah,
don't,
and they're still.
You know, I don't watch the news.
Well, I kind of have to. And they're still gathering evidence by the day. They had been, but here's the thing: the documentary clearly states how many people he's paid off.
Yeah.
Bought and off. And then you have these young girls who are in the documentary. I'm thinking they're admitting in the documentary that they did this, they were underage. How is he still free?
I don't get it. Well, so. I mean, dude, there's plenty of people in Hollywood that are still free, so I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know how that works. I just know when you see stuff like that, it's like, man, yep, it's amazing that that can take place in this day and age.
Two just wrongs amazing. Don't make either any of them right.
No,
so.
God.
There you
no.
go, Al. All right. So Adam Rank's going to join us next as we start getting into what everybody got into this weekend. That was a lot of football. We'll break that down. Nick, if I'm not mistaken, he's a Bears fan, so I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about that game yesterday. And we'll have that coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Excuse me, first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, and we are here at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby location. You should be, too. And if you can't make it here now for lunch and hang out with us, well, then get here before the game tonight, because there is no better spot to be hanging out watching this national championship game tonight, because scenic, what is it?
Scenic views.
Scenic views, for sure.
Yeah.
29-degree beer. And unbelievable food, which we both just sampled.
I don't know if you know this, but scenic views means chicks are hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a got to spell it out for me guy. So.
Well, after the first call we took of the day, it is possible that you're going to have to do that more often. But because we want to kind of change the ratio there on the calls, we have someone on the line right now we want to bring in, because he is the man from NFL Network that always has a plan. He's Adam Rank. Nick is friends with Adam and has graciously got him on our show from time to time. Adam, we appreciate you joining the show, especially under the circumstances, because if I'm not mistaken, you, my friend, are a big Bears fan. So that one had to sting just a touch yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I want to get into that, but a couple of things. I am friends with Nick, but he didn't tell me you guys were at Twin Peaks, because I would have moved heaven and earth to get there. I haven't been to the one down in Houston, but I have been to the one in Las Vegas, and I don't think you guys are selling it hard enough, because it is absolutely a great place, and I implore anybody within the sound of our voices, make sure you go down to Twin Peaks tonight, because I give it my personal guarantee that you're going to have a good time. What wasn't a good time,
Amen.
Though, you alluded to it off the top. It was the
Yeah, there are plenty
game.
Of guys here and that want to sell it hard, Adam, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, we completely
hold
get what
it.
You're saying.
Yes, you
wow.
hold it. Watch yourself.
That's something that they're hoping for as well.
All right. I keep getting myself into trouble. Let's talk about the Bears then. Let's transition into that. And that was an unfortunate. It was, you know what? I would be more upset if I just didn't see the way that it was going to turn out, once they missed the two-point conversion to go down, you know, it was 15-10, you're like, well, this comes down to a Parkey miss. Like, there's no – like, anybody who has watched the Bears over the course of the season knew that that was the Achilles heel and knew that was going to be the biggest problem that was facing the team. You can talk about Mitch Trubisky making some questionable decisions. Perhaps the defense is banged up a little bit. Of course, Trey Burton was on the mend. But Cody Parkey, you know, they put a lot of faith into him, because I go back to the game against the Dolphins. They had a chance to win, and we're willing to settle for him making a 50-yard field goal, and then that didn't work. And, of course, if they had won that game, they would have been would have had a second-round bye. Then you look at other things, and it just – I don't know. As a Bears fan, you just kind of see these inevitabilities kind of happening to you, and it hurts. But the difference is, from a lot of years, is that there's a lot of things to be encouraged about. I do believe that they finally have their franchise quarterback. Matt Nagy is an excellent NFL coach. The defense is great. So it's disappointing at this moment, but there is a lot to look forward to, and it's on to 2019.
Adam Rank joins us. Adam, were you a bit disappointed that Khalil Mack didn't show up like he had all year?
Well, there were some – I mean, he was involved. I mean, there was a – there wasn't like the week one spectacular against Green Bay where he was strip sack, fumble people. But he's out there, and you can kind of see the way the teams have to approach him and what they do when he's out on the field is you've got to block him different. And it is really something that has kind of emerged over the last couple of weeks where you see guys like Floyd – really step up. Now, this guy is not obviously going to be a superstar on max level, but he's just a good football player. And you see other guys being able to step up and make plays because of his presence on the field. Now, I don't want to get into the fanboy thing of like, they never call holding on him, but they don't. But anyways, the players around him play a lot better. And really, I mean, like, the defense played pretty well. You allowed 16 points to the defending national or the national. See, I'm involved in the Monday night game already. The defending Super Bowl champion. That's what you want. Like, if you would have told me coming into this game, like, hey, the Eagles are going to score 16 points, I'd have been like, yeah, it's fair. The Bears should be able to get at least 23. Should be able to take advantage of everything that's going on out there. But unfortunately, it was what it was. And I don't want to place blame on a ton of people, not even the kicker himself. Even though, again, that was inevitable. There was just a lot of things, a lot of little things just added up to one big disappointment at the end.
So I want to get your perspective on Texans, Colts and all that, and I know we want to get into that. Before we get off the Bears train, I do want to mention this, and I know this is not something you want to hear, but he's under contract for $3.5 million next year, Cody Parkey is. That's the second highest salary for all kickers, fully guaranteed. So my question to you is, does that mean he's definitely going to be on the roster? And where do you put him? I compared this to a Bartman-like moment for Chicago fans where Steve Bartman and the whole Cubs thing, Cody Parkey could be that villain, that guy that everybody looks to and is remembered in history just like Bartman.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way he's going to be remembered. And you know, the Cubs fans were so gracious to Bartman. So you would imagine Cody Parkey is going to be given a pass as well. It's disappointing. I don't think that there's any way that he can continue to be a member of the Bears, even though his contract, as you said, is fully guaranteed. They're going to have to move on from him. They're going to have to bring in somebody else. I really applaud what Ryan Pace has been able to do over the last couple of seasons. Getting rid of Robbie Gould was not one of his smart moves. That is one that I'm going to look back on and be like, yeah, we might probably should have said. And Robbie Gould, I hear, was in the building, too, with his son in a suite. So I'm like, that's perfect. That makes perfect sense, but unfortunately, that's the way it went. I you know, you have to eat money at some point, and you know, this is, you don't pay a lot to the quarterback, thankfully, under the new salary cap rules, so you're going to have some flexibility. But yeah, that's, they got to move on from him. I just feel like that's unfortunate. That's unnecessary. Let's be mad at other people. Let's be mad at the officials and that stupid rule with the Anthony Miller catch. Let's be mad. There's other things like the pass interference. I'm sorry. I don't want to be like totally sounding like a homer. And Prince Amukamara gets flagged for a pass interference, which is like, yeah, he was looking back. They were fighting. I mean, that's what happened. Then the following possession, an Eagles player like drop kicks. I think it was Allen Robinson, or maybe it was Tony or Peter Gabriel. But you know who I'm talking about. But anyways, And then Chris Collinsworth is all like, yeah, it's playoff football. I'm like, how is it playoff football? I'm like, they were just calling these styles 30 seconds ago, but whatever. There's a lot of things. Let's find other scapegoats outside of Parkey, because there's plenty of blame to go around.
Adam Rank joins us on the show. Adam, thoughts on the Colts-Texans game? Did that go like you thought it would?
No. You know, I thought it was going to be close. I thought it was going to be tightly contested. You know, these two teams had battled, and both games ended, within 3 points. So I thought, again, we were going to be thrilled to see another classic between these two, even though both teams have been playing amazing over the last couple of weeks. But unfortunately, the Colts just took it to them, and that was kind of a surprise. I thought the Colts had a very good chance in this game. I had picked the Texans to win. But I thought the Colts were going to hang with them. I didn't want to bet against Andrew Luck, obviously. But I was just kind of surprised at the way they took them apart. And, you know, when I'm looking at the Texans, and I know this must be tough, and I have to face the music with the Bears, so I don't want to have to put this out on anybody else, but it's kind of like when you look at the Texans, you're like, are we at that point? Like, is this what we're getting from Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans? I don't want to call him the next Marvin Lewis, because Bill O'Brien has won a playoff game, so that wouldn't be fair to say. But you kind of get into that mix of, like, where are we at? What are we doing? Is this team going to be moving forward? Do you feel better? I mean, there are a lot of positives, similarly to what we saw about the Bears with, you know, you've got the quarterback of the future. I thought he's going to bounce back from this and play well. This is just a minor speed bump in his development. DeAndre Hopkins is probably the best wide receiver in the game. The defense has more concerns for me going forward, but I'm just curious where this team goes from here. What are they going to do? What is their mindset? And I think that, you know, trying to get a little bit younger on the defense might be the way to go. They've got a lot of big issues too with Jamie and Clowney and things like that. So I'm really interested to see which direction they move in.
That's Adam Rank. He's on NFL Network. Also, you can follow him at Adam Rank on Twitter. I mentioned that because, Adam, this tweet came out of your Twitter account, and you know there are people are salty down here, but this is why you get the opening playoff game every time, Texans. I'm sure that could rattle some cages around here, but it kind of is apropos. You made the Marvin Lewis comparison with the Bengals, but it's really not that far-fetched right now in the way I'm curious from your national perspective, the perception of Bill O'Brien and the Texans.
No, that's it. I mean, it's kind of weird because it is one of those things that we joked about when the Texans clinched a playoff spot and you knew they were going to be playing in the opening weekend. And we were like, well, they get the opening game. They're the opening act. They're opening for Jay Moore. They're doing whatever they're doing, you know, and it was just kind of like that. And then, of course, when the schedule comes out, they're like, of course it's Colts and Texans on Saturday afternoon. That's what they always do. But, yeah, it's just, again, it's one of those things. It's like it's a good team. Like it is very similar to the Bengals where you're like, this is a good football team. They're a solid football team. Are they great? Like when you're sitting there trying to make the case for all these teams making the Super Bowl, like who is the one team you're like, God, I feel the least about, you know, the worst about. I don't know how to explain that, but you're like, oh, you know, I could make a case for the Chiefs, for the Patriots, Ravens, obviously, Chargers, yep. And then you're like, yeah, the Colts, they need something. I just feel like, you know, it's interesting because I think the national media looks at the Texans and they just think like, oh, they're like, it's just Houston. But you're like, you know, Houston's actually the fourth largest city in America. You know, and it wasn't until I went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago where you're like, Houston's an awesome place. Like, this place is amazing. Obviously, you have a Twin Peaks, so that's awesome. They have the eighth wonder. They have the eighth wonder of the world, that little brew pub place. I don't know if I should be mentioning that, but whatever. Like, there's a lot of cool things. And Houston's like a hip town. I think the downtown could be pretty cool, too, you know. So I just feel like they got to take that next step. I don't know what it is. I don't know who is going to be that person, but I don't know. They're just good, you know. They're solid. There's nothing like, again, like to use the analogy of going to a comedy club, like you're there to see a headliner. You're going to go see like Jerry Seinfeld or Brian Regan or somebody like that. And then there's a feature act who's good. And you're like, yeah, that person was very good. They're not the headliner, but very good. And so they need to make that next step.
Adam, before we let you go, we're up against it, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the matchup tonight, the national championship.
I just feel like I'm an American who just wants to root for Clemson. Like, that's it. Like, I don't know. I kind of like the familiarity. I think that it's cool. I think that for anybody who's been bellyaching about, like, we need to expand the playoffs. Like, why do we need to expand the playoffs? Like, this is pencil in Alabama and Clemson for the end of time. Let all the other bowl games just be bowl games, and then we'll be happy with it. But I think that I'm not going to pick against Alabama on this one. As much as I want to see them lose, I think that they just have too much, and they're going to end up prevailing tonight.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Hey, the best-dressed man on the NFL Network, and that's tough to do, but I'll give him credit for that every single time as well. You should follow him at Adam Rank on Twitter, and check him out on NFL Network. Adam, we appreciate it. We'll catch up with you, hopefully, before the Super Bowl.
I hope so. And again, I usually say the pleasure was all on this side of the phone, but you guys are at Twin Peaks, so I'm going to have to say, you know what? That's not accurate.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you. That's Adam Rank. We're going to continue to roll on here. Plenty more to get to. We just started popping the top on the NFL playoffs. We'll get to that. We'll get to the national championship game. And, of course, if you want to join us, we're at Twin Peaks 59 in Kirby, where you should stop by and see the scenic views and sample the 29-degree brews, amongst other things. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. I see you there. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
They're Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria. Bye!
I thought he finished with Fly Eagles Fly. I don't know if that was non-biased, but he was very excited about the Cody Parkey miss.
I love that so much. Shout out to Steven on Twitter for sending that and bringing it to my attention. I at some point that had to be played on this show because that is just. I mean, if you don't get – even as a Bears fan, I think I might be like, oh, that's – you can't deny the excitability of that.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And so fun.
You go back and – you know what? And obviously Lisa's bilingual is Nora?
Yeah. Nora's weird. She can understand it, like, perfectly. She just doesn't speak Spanish.
And that's kind of the way – Lisa can speak it, but she's more embarrassed –
That's Nora. She doesn't feel like she sounds right.
Exactly.
We had this couple ask us one time. I forget where we were, but this couple asked us in Spanish for directions, and Nora understood every word they said, but gave the directions in English. I was like, babe. She's like, no, I don't. No. So
yeah, our wives are on the same page with that. But I've told her numerous times. I was like, look, if I could understand Spanish, I would listen to the Spanish broadcast because forever when I was with the Rockets too, and my Spanish announcer there. I had to send the tapes away to, like, review the tapes for content to see good, bad, or indifferent. And I'm like, he could say whatever he wants. But at the same time, as a fan, isn't that what you want? Skip the commerciality of everything where you have to be.
I want the excitement, yeah.
Yeah.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
You want that honesty.
That's so good. That's the equivalent of goal.
And that's where I was going
next. I
love
that, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that's why if I could, I would listen to all the games in Spanish because I think it's absolutely
more fun.
You get rid of all where you have to, you know, like the Rockets, you can't say anything bad about the Rockets. You have to say everything good about – no, this is just pure honesty of what they just saw, and that's what makes it so much fun.
Indeed.
But this whole thing, this Cody Parkey thing, it's not going away. That's why I compared it to Bartman because I was thinking about it last night and this morning and going, this dude, and I was shocked to see that – he's the second highest paid kicker on the books for next year. It's all guaranteed at $3.5 million. And there's no way in hell the Bears can put this guy on their squad. I go back to the Seattle Packer onside kick that the backup tight end botched. And the minute that game was over, even though that he still had a contract, there was no way. And I had later talked to people in the Packers organization that said, he will not be in our locker room going forward. You just can't.
Yeah, you can't. But if you're the Bears, does it make sense to eat that $3 million? I mean, it's fully guaranteed. That's dead money. Does that make sense for them?
I think you're going to try and trade him.
Who wants a kicker?
Oh, there's a lot of people that had
clanking,
him high.
Clanking balls off the goalposts like that. Nobody wants
Cleveland.
That. I would have said Chargers, but their kicking game came through for them. So,
yep.
I don't know. I don't know if you could trade a broken-down kicker that's mentally, you know, is the Brad Lidge of kickers. Now, you know, Lidge went on and won a World Series and went perfect and saved. So maybe that's what Cody Parkey does. Maybe he is the Brad Lidge of kickers, and he bounces back and wins a Super Bowl and never misses a kick that season. Maybe so. Chances of it? Slim. And none. And Slim's busy.
Exactly, and Foles was even after the game. Oh, he's a great guy, great kicker. You know, he'd make 99 out of 100.
What? That's not how percentages work. If you look at his numbers,
did you see? By the way, when he was doing some off-season work this last year, where he put on social media how he could hit a post like a telephone pole from like 50 yards away, and then ironically he hit. This was the sixth time this season.
Yeah.
He had hit either the left or the right upright.
The funniest thing I saw, and I think I tweeted it
you
out.
You did, yes.
It's definitely on my Instagram, but are you a Bears kicker? Yes, no. And the box for yes had the X's on the bars, the uprights of the box. That is just insanely funny to me.
And the other one, someone put a
so
car
good.
That had a one-car accident that had hit like one of those cement posts.
Yeah.
And they're like, Cody Parkey parked here.
Of course, there was a bird box of him kicking blindfolded. So, yeah, the memes are out in full force. I feel bad for the guy. And then they come to find out, I didn't realize this last night because I started watching Shawshank after the game. But this morning they're talking about it was tipped at the line.
Yeah.
Now, how much of that affected, you know, ball flight and it was it going to be good? Was it going to be – it might have actually moved it inside. You don't know. But that's the big blame now is that, well, it was tipped a little bit, too. So is it completely his fault?
No, you know what? That's the thing that I said, too. Chicago fans aren't going to take back the venom and the hate that they've been distributing all over the place since the game ended. They booed him off the field last night. To his credit, he did answer all the questions in the locker room after the game, which I was surprised that he did, but I give him a lot of credit for doing so because a lot of guys would have taken that back door to the locker room and just, you know, ducked their head and never to be seen or heard from for at least – several months, although he did say, yeah, it's going to take me a few days to get over this one.
This,
I'm like,
yeah.
A few days?
You think?
Chief, this one's never going to leave your resume.
Mac Daddy on Twitter said, I thought that, no, senor, was a soundbite from Lakewood during the Harvey. They wouldn't let him in. No, senor. Can we get in? No, senor.
That's very good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was fantastic. But, man, social media was alive and kicking, and everybody was kicking him while he was down. But I was wondering the same thing as you. When I saw that it was tipped and they could actually – some of the guys in the locker room for the Eagles were saying it after the game. Look, that ball was tipped. No one wanted to believe it. But when they actually got the replay and they zeroed in, I was wondering, would anybody start to say, you know, oh, my bad? But no, they just kept coming at it.
Not.
Did you guys
not
see the tip,
that.
Though? Like, I looked at all the replays, and it was a struggle for me to see the hand touch the ball. Did you guys see an angle where?
Well, so the thing that I saw, I don't know what it was on because I don't remember who I saw showing it this morning, but they had like a zoom in inside, you know, like where you'll have the play, and then they had a circle zoomed in
ESPN
on where the hand was.
Yes.
You can barely see the fingers move. It's not like, I mean.
It just didn't seem super definitive, did it?
I mean, that was 90% sure I saw the fingers move. It definitely hit his hand or his fingers. Now, how much of it was affected the actual kick? Because, I mean, it's literally, if it just hits the fingertip, and I'm talking the fingertip, then it probably doesn't affect ball flight that much. Maybe slows it down a tick. But moving it left or right, I don't think so.
Did
but
you guys see?
The hell do I know?
Did you guys see the Barstool
might have
Sports
fingers?
But did you guys see the Barstool Sports guy? His reaction after the game, I thought that was hilarious.
I did not know. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
Well, here, take a listen to it. It's pretty funny. This is after. I'm sure he didn't know that there was a possibility that Cody Parker tipped the ball. But I just think this audio is hilarious. He just goes off on a tangent. I think he's a Bears fan.
8 million, 10 million, 25 million. I don't know how much fucking Cody Parkey's getting fucking paid, but that little fucking sucker from South Florida can't make a damn fucking tick for his fucking life.
Wow.
I mean, how much fucking money we gotta pay this fucking cocksucker? How much fucking opportunity do you fucking need?
Oh my goodness. That guy is a little
upset.
Tell
us how you really feel.
That guy is not happy. That's a Barstool guy?
Yeah.
Now, was that on his was that on social media or was that on like their website?
That was on social media because it was like a selfie video that he was doing after the game.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he goes on. Wow. I mean, he goes bleep you, Cody, at the end. It was crazy.
You know what's funny is I think if you I doubt you would ever see a Texans fan do that. Do you know why? Because we're so used to it. Like it's almost like Texans fans, also leftover Oilers fans, would just be like, yep, that's about right. We would hit the upright, and it would hit the goalpost and the crossbar and bounce out, and then the Texans lose. That's about right. It would be – I don't know that there would be that much anger and shock involved if this was a Texans thing.
I think there'd be a lot of venom. I think there would be a lot of anger because of the passion people in Texas have for football. But I think you're right. There's also the other side of it, which is they've grown accustomed to this kind of thing happening to Houston football teams and Houston sports teams.
Yeah. A couple texts. Hey, Barry, do you think Steve Bartman is the only one living in Chicago who's happy he missed? Joel covered that. I'm sure he is thrilled. But I think Chicago's kind of forgiven Steve Bartman now. Yeah, didn't they bring him out during the World Series and presented him with a...
They tried, but it brought out a whole lot of hate again on social media when they did.
I'm the only person, and this is from Robert Tumball, I'm the only person I know who has never seen Star Wars or the Godfather movies. Whoa! You're an idiot, Robert. At least I've seen... you haven't seen Star Wars or the Godfather movies, sir?
Come on, the Godfather?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
At least I've seen the Star Wars movies. They were making fun of me because I hadn't seen Schindler's List, Shawshank, Pulp Fiction, Godfather movies. At least I've seen Star Wars. So at least I can say that.
See, he said Shawshank's good.
Yeah, it is. All right.
There you go. Okay, we've got one in the books. Still got 2 hours to go with the big show. Getting ready for the national championship game tonight, Clemson and Alabama. And we are at Twin Peaks, where you should be, too. If you can't make it here for lunch, you should make it here definitely for dinner and to watch the game, because it is the best place in town for you to catch the big game this evening. We're at 59 and Kirby, where it is scenic views. 29-degree beers, good food. We'll be back with hour number two right around the corner. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.